Won't tell. I won't be a rat on you. It's good to be here this morning. Glad to have the opportunity. I was here once before, a while back, for a, believe it was a sunrise service. And so it's good. I'm glad to be back. Amen. And hope you all came expecting something. And just pray that the Lord will bless you. So let's just get right into the let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Forgive me if I cough a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort of they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate, concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for they folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I pray, Father God, now for this message. I pray you hide me behind the cross. I pray your will be done, Lord. Lord, we give you all praise and glory, Father. I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, that today will be the day of salvation in their life, Father, that they would come to this old-fashioned altar and give their life to you, Father. Lord, I pray for the Christian that's struggling in their faith, Father, that you would just touch them today, God. Help them, Father. And Lord, we just give you all praise and glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Boy, we read this passage of Scripture today, and we look at the world today and our society, and we can no doubt say that, boy, we are living in perilous times. We can no doubt say that, boy, sometimes, have you ever heard it, it's hard to be a Christian. And which really, it's not hard to be a Christian, but you're not going to be popular in the day that we're living being a Christian. And so we see here in this passage of Scripture, we see here that the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage young Timothy. See, Timothy was a young man of God. And Paul was his mentor in the faith. Matter of fact, in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, you'll find that Paul calls him a son in the faith. Paul looked at Timothy as his own. He took him in. We see here that Timothy was a man of God. He was going to be preaching, and Paul was going to give him the encouragement to press on. Now, some of you may say, what does this have to do with maybe Youth Sunday? Well, I'm hoping it ties all in together before we get finished here. But what I'm trying to get to you here is today is that, boy, we are living in perilous times. And we can see that just looking out in the world. And matter of fact, through the scriptures here, we see here that Paul was warning him about an apostate church. A church that has the abandonment of the gospel. There's many churches out there today that will just preach about how you need to feel good and you need to make sure you do what's right for you and don't preach on sin. They don't preach the true gospel. And they just want to be the, matter of fact, they want to be the preacher, as in chapter 4, itching your ears, giving you what you want to hear. Trust me, I don't like hearing about my sin. And I know you don't like hearing about your sin. I know you don't like to be confronted about what you might be doing wrong. But it's the gospel. And we need to take this gospel as a value. This gospel here, matter of fact, I don't want to get too take one of my points away yet, but this gospel here is a benefit to us. This word of God is a benefit to us. And so we see here that Paul, number one, he's giving a warning to the Timothy. He's warning him about what he is going to endure and what he's going to face. Matter of fact, we see, what would he endure? Well, we see here, starting in chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 2. There we go. I'm getting there. We see here that he talks about there are people that will be lovers of self. This means that they love their carnal self more than their spiritual self. This means that they are willing to feed more of their carnal, fleshly desires than their spiritual desires. And if you ever want to know why you don't feel as close to God and sometimes why your fellowship with God is not in tune, you got to realize, who are you feeding? Are you feeding the carnal, the fleshly desire? Are you feeding the spiritual? And it's all what you feed the spiritual with. See, the carnal, they want the worldly way. We live in a time where they will say social drinking's all right, and which we know Scripture that's not true. Amen. They'll live in a day that will tell you that it's okay to be a homosexual, and it's okay to have sex before marriage. It's okay to do this. It's okay to do that. That's the world's view. And truly, that is your fleshly desire that you feel that is right. Because you're going to feel it's okay. But scripturally, we know that it's not. And so we know here through the Word of God, Paul was saying, hey, look, Timothy, you're going to deal with people within, even in your church, that are self-lovers. They love themselves. And they don't feel like they do anything wrong. And not only that, you're going to deal with people that are, they covet. They're coveted. Have you ever say, boy, I wish I could have, you look at someone's nice truck, I'm like, man, I wish I had that truck. Now, there's nothing wrong with wishing that you had a truck that's exactly like that. But when you covet it, like if another man coveted another man's wife, or a wife coveted another wife's husband, boy, we're living in that day. We have seen many people within churches today, ministries broken. Why? All because they coveted someone else's, I would hate to say property, but basically the best way to say it, He said, you're going to deal with prideful people. You're going to deal with people that are disobedient to parents. Now, I know a lot of sometimes this ain't popular preaching either, but we got to obey our parents. No matter how old you are. Boy, we get to a time like, well, I'm 18, I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm all this age, but you still got to obey your parents. It's no different. It's no different of how old you are. It doesn't have an age limit in the scriptures that says, okay, obey your parents unless you're 30 years old. It doesn't say that. I don't read that in my Bible. Do you? And so he's saying that, hey, there's going to be people that are going to be disobedient to parents. They're going to be boasters. They boast about themselves. They're going to be unthankful. Boy, no matter what you do, I mean, you can give them a Christmas gift and they're not even thankful for it. They're going to be unholy. They're not going to have a form of holiness. Matter of fact, they'll have a form of religion instead of a relationship with Christ. And we see that evident today. I want to ask this question to everybody. How is your relationship with Christ? Does Jesus take the top presidents, or does he take the lower part? Do you put something else before Christ? And we need to understand that for us to have the faith that we need to have, for us to be the man of God and the women of God that we need to be, Christ has to be number one. We see here that also he says, without natural affection, they're going to be truce breakers. They're going to come and they're going to say, all right, I'm going to make a deal with you and let's shake on it. But yet they're going to walk away and break it. They're not going to be truthful. They're going to be fierce. They're going to be incontinent. He says, hey, I'm warning Timothy, this is what's going to go on. They're going to be traitors. They're going to be heady. They're going to be high-minded. They're going to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. They might even dress in a suit and a tie. They might have their hair just pointed the right way. They might even get their King James Bible and hold it up like this. Having a form of godliness, but yet not having a true relationship with Christ, lost and going to hell. It's a thought here. He's saying, hey, Timothy, these things are going to happen. These things are going to happen within you. Hey, they're going to be learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I'm saying all this here this morning. I'm saying all this here this morning that all these things are happening. Boy, I say this, and maybe even if I say this, some could say, boy, this sounds very discouraging. Boy, that's very discouraging to hear. Because the Bible says it's going to wax worse and worse. It's not even going to get any better. But I want to preach a message to you here this morning on how to be encouraged in perilous times. How to be encouraged in perilous times. Now we know if we fall down this trap, we know if we fall down what Paul is warning Timothy about, if we love ourselves more than we love God, we can cause others to fall. How many people have said, I don't go to church anymore because I was hurt once before? They trusted in a man. Maybe it was a man of God that was up here that fell. They trusted in a church member. They trusted in the Sunday school teacher instead of trusting in God. And when they trusted in him and he failed them, they just had no desire to be in the house of God. They shun away. So I want to preach this thought, how to be encouraged in perilous times. Well, number one, I want to say this. We can be encouraged because of the Word of God. This Bible that you have in your hand, can encourage you. Matter of fact, this Bible that you hold in your hand can tell you everything about your life. Matter of fact, it can show you what you are going through and give you the help and the manna that you need, the nourishment that you need. We see here, matter of fact, it says this. It says that it is profitable for you. Boy, you have a good profitable book. We see here, matter of fact, it talks about it's profitable for doctrine. Let me ask you this question. Doctrine is basically like this. It's a good textbook. Say this, young ones, that you're in school and you have to study for a test. Now, I've been out of school since 2003. And I'll say this. I have the textbook of life right now. So, but you have to study for a test. Now, are you going to say, well, I'm not really going to study for this test. I think I can, I know this. I'm just not going to study for it. And you go for the test and you do the test and all of a sudden you get an F. Well, the question on the floor would be, did you study? Did you take the textbook and study? Well, the Word of God is the same way. You see, living in your life, how to face the problems and how to face the temptations and how to face the tribulations, you got to study. You got to take the Word at its value. Matter of fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says this, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Studying this Word will help you in your life. Studying this Word will help you when tribulations come. See, when Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness, He used the Word of God. You see, Satan will try to use the Word of God. He'll try to twist it, and Jesus just corrected him about it. When Satan comes your way and tries to use God's Word, when you study it, you'll know and say, well, no, that's not what the Word says. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Hey, we need to study this Word. It's profitable for doctrine, a perfect textbook. We look at the word reproof, it convicts us. Hey, if you want to know if you're right with God, if you want to know if your relationship and your fellowship is good, read the Word of God. Let it convict you. Let it show you where you need to work on, because friends, you're going to need to work on every single day. You fight your flesh every single day. And what you need to do is take that Word of God and say, Lord, where do I need to grow? Lord, where do I need to get right with You? Lord, is there something in my life holding my fellowship back to You? Is there something that I need to do as a child of God? Is there something that I'm not doing? Am I not witnessing enough? Am I not passing out tracts? Is there something that I need to do, Lord? Show me. Let that Word reprove you. Let that Word convict you. Let that Word show you what you need to do. Amen. Hey, we see also correction. It shows us the right way to live. Hey, also instructions in righteousness. The Bible provides the necessary details which will allow a Christian to become fully equipped for every good work. We know the Word of God is very powerful. We know the Word of God is a perfect Word. We know the Word of God is a light. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my what? My path. We can be encouraged because it illuminates us. It produces faith. This Word of God can encourage you in perilous times. When you turn on the TV and see the news and hear all the negativity. Sometimes it's just good to turn that TV off and just pick up the Word. And say, you know what? I can be encouraged. Not only can we be encouraged because of the Word of God. Secondly here, we can be encouraged because the power of the Lord. John chapter 16, verse 33 says this, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You can be encouraged because even when it looks like the world is winning, we can remember that Christ has overcome the world. When we think about, boy, our days are ended, we can remember that Christ overcame the world. Matter of fact, I think about this. I think about Jesus, and I think about Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I think about Him praying and asking, "God, if it be Thy will, pass, let this cup pass from me." And sweat, blood of sweat just dropping off His head, hitting the ground. And He says, "Lord, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. But Lord, not my will, Thine will be done." And then Him being in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the soldiers coming, grabbing a hold of Him, chaining Him up, and taking Him down the road, and beating Him while He's going down the road, and they're mocking Him while He's going down the road. And then He stands in front of Caiaphas, already beaten, already bloody, and He stands in front of Caiaphas, and they're beating Him some more, mocking Him some more, ripping His beard, spitting on Him, gaping their teeth on Him, and just pushing Him down on the ground, and blindfolding Him, and hitting Him, and said, "Who hit you, Jesus? Who hit you, Jesus? If you know everything, who hit you, Jesus?" And then take Him to Pilate, and then Pilate has Him scourged, and then after He comes back in front of the crowd, unrecognizable, barely able to walk, barely able to stand, they take Him down and let Him carry His cross on Golgotha's Hill, and they take Him on Golgotha's Hill, and they nail Him to a cross, and they lift Him up high, and they mock Him some more as He stood there, as He's crucified there naked, and he was naked. Think about this. He went to shame for you. Hey, He took all your shame. He took all everything a bit about your sin. He took that sin and placed it upon Him. A man who knew no sin. A man who was not sinful at all. A man who lived right. A man who was holy. A man who was righteous. He took your sin. Hey, I think He overcame the world. But not just that. It don't end there. They take Him off that cross and they put Him in the tomb. And 3 days later, He arose. Hey, I say He overcame the world, my friends. And I want to tell you something like now. Your situation, your problem you're going through. Man, young ones, I'm going to tell you right now, they're going through a lot more than what we went through in school. It's hard to be in that school today, in that system. I work as a custodian at a school. Trust me, I see it every day. I know. I see brokenness in the home. I see kids who come in and their parents don't even care one bit about them. I want to tell you right now, if you have a family here that loves you, that cares for you, that has brought you to church, that has given you the gospel, you need a hug upon them, because I see it every day, my friends. Hey, think about this. Jesus Christ overcame the world as He rose from the grave. I say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, we can be excited. Jesus, hey, He overcame the world through His crucifixion. We see it through His character. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He is the King of Kings. He is the Bread of Life. He is the I Am. Hey, He's Jesus. Hey, He's everything. He's altogether lovely. Altogether wonderful. Hey, I want to tell you right now, there's no one better than Jesus. Amen. I am. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's no one better than Jesus. I want to keep on saying that so you get that through our heads. There's no one better than Jesus. Amen. Hey, you can be encouraged because Jesus is your Savior today. If you're saved and born again, you can be encouraged because you have the one that overcame the world. You can be encouraged because you have God on your side. Amen. You're not alone. You're not down on the... Hey, you're not by yourself. Satan wants to make you feel like there's no one, there's no hope, there's no one there to help you. But friends, I want to tell you something. Look up. Look up. Look up. As Psalms 120 says, 121 says, "I look to the eyes, to the hills, which cometh my help." Look up. Your help cometh. Amen. We can be encouraged because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same power that healed the blinded eyes. The same power that arose people from the dead. The same power that cast out demons. The same power that stood upon the waves and says, "Peace, be still," and the waves and the winds ceased. That same power that went to Jairus' daughter says, "She's just sleeping, she's not dead," and just took her hand. That same power Hallelujah. That same power that came down one day, touched your heart, and said, come. Come. That's it. Hey, I remember the day. I have not forgotten it. I was at State Line Baptist Church. Don Cunningham was the pastor of the church. And I will tell you, I was just young and I was more in the back there. And Jesus said, it's time. That's all He said to me. And I knew it was Him. He said, hey, it's time. It's time. It's time. And I looked at my mom and dad and said, it's time. And I went down to the old-fashioned altar and I got saved. And I have not forgotten it. Do you remember the day that Jesus touched your heart and saved your soul? Hey, man, I do. Hey, that's how to be encouraged in perilous times. Remember the day you got saved. Remember the day He saved you. Thirdly here, this will be my last point. I'm not a long-winded preacher, just to let you know. But thirdly, we can be encouraged because the promise of heaven. We can look at this world today and go, boy, it's a disaster. It is godless. And we can easily let Satan take that and hinder our faith and just make us down. Or we could just take the word and say, you know what? We can be encouraged because the world's not my home. I'm just here temporarily. I'm not here for good. No more perilous times in heaven. I'm preaching this because I know that it's easy to get discouraged. I know it's easy to allow the world to hinder our thoughts and our faith. I'm preaching this because I want us to be encouraged in this time because heaven is for real. Heaven's coming, friends. He's coming back. In a twinkling of an eye, as a thief in the night, He's coming back. And if you're here today, don't know Jesus Christ, I will get to know Him today because the trump could blast right now. And if you're not saved and born again, you're going to be left behind. Hey, let's think about heaven for a second here. In heaven, there's joy. In heaven, there's peace. In heaven, Jesus is the light. In heaven, most of all, I like him preaching about it. Heaven has streets of gold, it has pearly gates, it has a mansion, and all that's beautiful, and all that's wonderful. But the bottom line is, in heaven, there's Jesus. In heaven, there's Jesus. In the heaven, we're going to be, our crowns will be on our head. And when Jesus steps forth, we're just going to have to bow down and take the crowns and cast it at His feet. Hey, in heaven, we're just going to say, we're not worthy of these crowns to be on our head. We're standing in the sight of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hey, one of these times, we're going to be seated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we're going to fellowship forever and ever. Hey, He's going to take that ring and put it on our hand, and it's going to be final. Amen. It's going to be final. Hey, hallelujah. When we got heaven, we can be encouraged in these perilous times because we're going to go to heaven. We have the power of the Word. We have the power of the Lord, and we got the promise of heaven. That's how we can be encouraged. I'm trying to tie this in. I was really encouraged today to see the youth up here. Very encouraged to see them take part of the service because they are the future generation of this church. And my heart goes out to the youth. And I used to be the youth pastor of our church, and I just see it. Like I said, I work at a school district. I see it. And my heart for them, and I've always said this, my heart for them is that they love Jesus. That they would really take the time and say, you know what? I want to know Jesus. He is the best friend that you will ever have. He is the one that will never turn on you. He's the one that will always listen to you. He's the one that will always be by your side. I want to say this. Friends do come and go. And they do. The friend that you say, boy, we're going to be best friends forever, and we're in high school, and this is my best friend. Forever. And no, in some cases, very few, they do stay best friends. But in a lot of cases, you drift apart. Can I say, Jesus will never be that friend where you drift apart. Jesus will always be there. Let Jesus be your best friend. Let Jesus be the light of your life. You can be encouraged today in perilous times because of the Word of God, because of the Lord, and because of the promise of heaven. I pray that you take heart of this here today. With every head bowed, every eyes closed, every Christian's praying.